Hello, our friends, Evolutionary Energy Arts family.
Hello there. Welcome back.
And Rama says hi with a big yawn.
Yes, he does.
So as always, guys, check in daily as we try to get at least one video up on either channel each day. Each one does have unique videos. So you guys, when you think about the Zulu Nation, maybe Shaka Zulu comes to mind, that warrior of the Zulu people in Africa. You know, his territory was larger than France, and he had an army of over 100,000 people. Think again of all the numbers that they're always giving us about population and things like that. And yes, our history is so obfuscated. It's cloudy, it's murky, it's meant to be that way because they don't want you seeing clearly. They certainly don't want you utilizing your version of this over here on the left.
Oh, and they go to really super great lengths to make sure that you believe their version. In fact, they put you through schools that, you know, give you red marks if you get the answer wrong about what happened in your history. Yeah. They spend a lot of time convincing us of what our history is in accordance to their story.
And so this is not Shaka Zulu, but this is Credo Mutwa. And he's famous for some, well, he did a famous interview with David Icke many, many years ago. And, you know, one of my first introductions to David Icke was Children of the Matrix, which I think was pre-2000. If I remember right, still have a copy of it. And in it, he shares the stories of his people, the Zulu Nation. Again, these stories are not unique. In fact, when you look at how, let's just say right now, Western society has dominated the planet, and it's going to shift again, as we've been talking all about, with the power shifting to China and the BRICS nations. But still, it's the Western system, which really, really comes from beings like the depiction on the left, these what we would call reptilian beings. And so sharing the stories that were passed down verbally, again, the indigenous people of the globe have been silenced on purpose as much as possible. Their ways, which are the ways of, for the most part, living in harmony with the earth, not conquering and poisoning. That's not to say there's not warfare between nations. No, but when you look at the system, they don't poison the land on a massive scale like these corporations do, like the system does. And now the system, you know, all you hear is, we got to stop carbon emissions, we got to stop this and that. It's just another trick, another ploy. It's just another way of controlling humanity. We see all these depictions, this artwork. Now, you know, is this people doing depictions of their nightmares? Or were these beings that they have seen, that they have heard of? And, you know, these things that in many cases, these stories remind us so much of modern abductions, modern UFO phenomenon. You know, again, there's been so many researchers in our modern times that have delved down this rabbit hole and basically found that, you know, there's some myths and legends that sound so much like what they tell us in these stories from so long ago of these reptilian humanoid beings, as you see another picture of Credo Mutwa. And we've even seen it depicted in many of our movies. This one was from Conan the Barbarian, where the human, the leader of this barbarian tribe, turns into a serpent. Yeah, turns into kind of a Naga type being. It's all in front of our face if we'll just look. It's very, very clearly depicted. And of course, usually when we think of a Christian version of Satan and the devil, looks kind of reptilian-ish, right? Doesn't it? It does kind of look that way. And we see all these depictions of what people have seen sometimes in their abductions or in their visions. Or, you know, again, maybe even in our modern day mythos, when we look to things like the Avengers, the Chitauri are these reptilian beings that Credo Mutwa shares with us, were known of by the Zulu people. These beings were not nice beings, and this is a modern day concept art depiction, so to speak, that we get from the Avengers. Ah, yes, Marvel Avengers. Again, you know, what do you see? Well, you see people with technology, you see people with some sorts of superhuman abilities, which we will develop naturally, the superhuman abilities. And there are already super soldiers. And then we see a lot of alien-looking beings. Isn't this interesting? This is a Chitauri commander. Look at that. It's right in our face. Here they are. You know, Marvel Avengers. Chitauri commander, you can collect your own.
Indeed, you can have your own graven image if you so choose. Just go buy it. And we look at these beings and remember, you know, humans, we all have that reptilian brain inside of us. Where does that come from? And gosh, is there more reptilian in some than others? And what does that mean exactly? Why do we have that reptilian part of us going on? And if so, is it possible we can tap into that? And then what does that do if we tap into the reptilian side of us? Just very interesting how it just seems to be bypassed when it comes to any type of true understanding on a spiritual level or even a 3D in your body level.
And so Credo Mutwa shares an incredible and fairly convincing story from his ancestors about an alien invasion that destroyed humanity and is the reason for the pain and suffering we see in the world today. Credo Mutwa is a famous African Zulu Sangoma, a traditional healer from South Africa who has ancient esoteric knowledge that he's gotten from his ancestors and predecessors that were passed down to him that helps illuminate ancient history. Now, the thing to realize is he's not alone. You will find the same stories all around the globe in different tribes. The Cherokee have their stories. The Hopi have their stories. The Australian Aborigines have theirs. Again, you don't have to, you know, just zero in on only one particular part of the globe to find these stories. They're universal in nature, just like the flood stories are universal in nature. India, you know, again, we've talked about the Nagas. And, you know, it's interesting because there are more than one type of reptilian. There's multiple types of reptilians out there, just as there's multiple types of humans walking on the planet. You know, we saw in recent videos, the world's shortest man at 21 inches and the current tallest man at like 8'6". The biggest man that we know of in history is Robert Wadlow, who was like an inch under 9 feet tall. He was like 8'11". More interesting than this, though, is the Zulu elder has had his personal experience, which corroborates this knowledge he was told. And that knowledge includes what we popularly refer to today as reptilians. He calls them Chitauri, or Chitauri, Chitauri, ruling over Earth. In fact, much of David Icke's central thesis is derived from Mutwa's knowledge. In an interview with Rick Martin, Mutwa explained the Zulus' claim that many, many thousands of years ago, there arrived out of the skies a race of people who were like lizards, people who could change will at shape at will. Now, you got to recognize, too, these are different time periods. So where we are now is we are on the beginning of the lower 4D, and we're going to be moving deeper into 4D. And this is when we're in a waking state. We also transverse 4D when we are in a sleeping state, but yet out of the physical body. And when we're out of the physical body, we can do much more. Because, again, if you want to look at it in terms of, well, when you're in a physical body, you transverse space. Let's put it that way. And when you're in a 4D body, you can also transverse time, as you know, time is an illusion, and really it's something that it's necessary for our brain so we can process things. But it's not always necessary for us depending on where our consciousness is centered.
Mm-hmm. Right. Time is something in the spirit realm that's actually tangible. It is a frequency. It has its own existence outside of our bodies. This time space that they teach us in school is that so we can experience our 3D world from going from point A to point B. It's our linear path, and that's how we do things here in the 3D. But once we move beyond the 3D, everything just changes incredibly, and you realize there really is no time the way we understand it.
Absolutely. And then when we refer to things like our higher selves, we're actually talking about even going beyond 5D into like 6D and higher realms, where we cannot truly conceptualize of it while we're in this body. We could get glimpses when we go into deep meditations and start to expand outwards and get that sensation of a vastness to our consciousness. But that is, again, why we so encourage everybody to have a mind-body-breath practice meditation. That should be like the foundation of our spiritual practice. Otherwise, you know, what good is a spiritual practice when all we're relying on is hearsay from others? We got to go deep for ourselves. So while we're sharing these interesting little tidbits, it's not that we're sharing it and we believe in what's coming out here. It's what we know and we could concur with and say, yeah, okay, you know, this is on, this is a little bit off, but for the most part, this gives a good picture of what's going on. So again, from our direct experience, we choose certain items to cover because they feel like they can be useful for people to see other people's depictions of what they have experienced, what they know, what they have gotten from their family members, tribal elders, etc. And again, when you're a shaman is a walker between worlds. And again, anybody that goes deep into meditation, you could say that you're a shaman of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Or you are into shamanic practices. These beings, you know, when you say the word shaman, there really is an energy to it. There's an energy, and you have a way of walking between worlds and actually doing things, actually changing things between these worlds. So it's really, it's an understanding that you come to and you learn, and that is also energetically passed down.
Absolutely. So here we see. Okay, the Zulus claim that many, many thousands of years ago, there arrived out of the skies. Kingship came from where? Came from on high. On high? Yeah, out of the skies. These guys came down. They said, yo, we're going to rule you. And when we leave, we're going to choose who's going to be in charge of you. And by the way, it's going to be some of our offspring, which, you know, are some of you guys and us mixed, just to put it in simple vernacular. Yeah, a race of people who were like lizards, people who could change shape at will. So again, that's something that when we start getting into the 4D, we start to see this as a common thing. And people who marry their daughters to a walking extraterrestrial and produce a power race of kings and tribal chiefs, there are hundreds of fairy tales in which a lizard female assumes the identity of a human princess and poses at her and gets married to a Zulu prince. Now, again, we see all this in our myths and mythology, and you could think of legends of incubus and succubus, which are sexual demons that basically prey on the life force, but in some cases what they're actually doing is creating hybrids. And we call them demons, but in reality, you could more closely identify them with extraterrestrials, interdimensionals. Yes, there are some beings that have been on Earth for a very long time, for generations. So maybe at some point in time, when do you say they're no longer extraterrestrials because they've been here a long time? Originally, they came from, say, the constellation of Draco, or They came from the Orion area. Wherever it is, again, it's all semantics. It's all semantics. Really, when people want to really denote and only look at things as that's a demon, it's what they're really trying to say is, I still believe completely in the Bible and only in the Bible. And, you know, that's my mindset in which I'm looking at everything out of. And, you know, same thing with, I feel much of that is the same thing with the desire to have a flat earth, so to speak. In his old age, 94 at the time of the writing of this article, has become increasingly vocal about this knowledge and personal experience. Like most people, though, Zulu shaman claims these aliens are not really conventional aliens at all. He believes that they are not from a faraway planet, but they're actually from Earth or somewhere nearby. Well, absolutely. For a long time, you know, they have worked Mars, which Mars is a hop, skip, and a jump from us. I mean, that's not far at all.
Oh, no. Mars, a lot of the information, a lot of the construct that we function in now, the school system, the religious system, the medical system, the financial system, all of that was brought to us from Mars, from beings from Mars. It's a very powerful control matrix. And when you start dealing in generations, you teach the very, very young children as early as you can possibly get them part of these constructs. Well, they're no longer able to see outside of that construct. They think they have to function inside of that thing that's been created for them. They don't understand that there's any freedom. It takes me back to the poor elephant. When it's a baby, it's tied down, it's anchored into the ground, and no matter how hard it pulls and pulls and pulls, it cannot break free. Well, by the time that elephant is an adult, you can simply put the rope around the leg of a chair, and that elephant will stay there because it's been taught to him that no matter how hard he pulls on this rope, he can never go anywhere. And that's kind of where humanity is right now. We're having to unlearn everything that we learned so that we know we have freedom.
So he goes on, I believe they need substances from us, just as some of us human beings use certain things from wild animals, such as monkey glands, for certain selfish purposes of our own. Far too many people fall into the temptation of looking upon these aliens as supernatural creatures. They are solid creatures, sir. He also believes they have sinister intent. Before they arrived, human beings lived as one. The Chitauri came to Earth. They arrived in terrible vessels which flew through the air, vessels which were shaped like great bowls and made terrible noise and terrible fire in the sky. Yeah, very much like Ezekiel's things, wheel. And the Chitauri, and also, I mean, being the Israelites being led out in the desert, pillar of fire, you know, again, a star, a cloud. Yeah, obviously, we know what this is. So they told human beings who they gathered together by force with whips of lightning that they were great gods from the sky and that from now on they would receive a number of great gifts from the god. These so-called gods who were like human beings but very tall with a long tail and with terrible burning eyes. Some of them had two eyes, yellow bright eyes. Some had three eyes, the red round eye being in the center of their forehead. These creatures then took away the great powers that human beings had. So human beings had great powers, the powers of speaking through the mind only, telepathy, which we've been talking about, which is going to occur again. So this is your Tower of Babel. You know, this is, again, shutting down the pineal gland. In the Chinese legends, they speak of the chakras and along the spine having blocks put in them by the gods, so that the kundalini energy would not flow, the pineal gland would wither, and we'd lose the ability to be like the gods. So, you know, again, this is not, when some people have said, you don't understand, the Tower of Babel was the controllers, and that was God coming down. No, you don't understand. You got it absolutely backwards, totally backwards. And this is what the controllers do. They totally shift everything 180 degrees. So the power of moving objects with their mind only, this is, we're talking about humans, telepathy, telekinesis, the power of seeing into the future and into the past, the power to travel spiritually to different worlds. This is why they didn't want graven images, because they didn't want you sharing what they look like, which is pretty scary for most people. This is also why they put a prohibition against speaking with the dead or speaking with any other spirits that weren't them, because it's their way of controlling you. And automatically, you know, this is what happens. Then you have nothing that you can experience directly on your own except that which they allow to you. And this is why they gave us that Abrahamic tradition that's based on concepts like blood sacrifice for redemption and like original sin. Again, it is, what's that term? Gaslighting from the get-go. Complete gaslighting of humanity. All these great powers that Chitauli took away from human beings, and they gave human beings a new power, the power of speech. But human beings found to their horror that the power of speech divided human beings instead of uniting them, because the Chitauli cunningly created different languages and they caused a great quarrel between the people. And so the Chitauli did something which had never been done before. They gave human beings people to rule over them. And they said, these are your kings, these are your chiefs, they have our blood in them. They are our children, and you must listen to these people because they will speak on our behalf. If you don't, we're going to punish you very terribly. This is your references to, let me pull this up again.
Mm-hmm. I know this is a really, really good one because this kind of outlines everything in a nice, neat package for you. Nice, neat, tidy package.
Slaves, this is Colossians 3:22 in the New Testament, but it's also in the Old Testament in various places as well. Slaves, obey your earthly masters. Why did they say earthly? Because this is them talking about the kings and queens that are given to you, which is their offspring, the reptilian offspring with the humans. Obey your earthly masters in everything, not only to please them while they're watching, but with sincerity of heart and fear of the Lord, or fear of the Chitauli, or fear of the reptilians, fear of the mighty ones that came from the sky. So now you can clearly see why this is the way it is.
And I know for so many people it's difficult. If you're just now breaking away from the narrative that they've given you, it can be a very scary thing because this is your belief system that you've been given from people that you love and you respect, and you believe that they only want the best for you. So how could this be? How could this possibly be? And the fact is, this has come down for generations upon generations, and the true essence of it all has completely been washed away. Unless and until you're willing to look outside of that and understand that the Bible is this construct, the Bible is these beings that came and controlled humanity, the Bible is that one funnel that they reach their tentacles through, and then they control your soul through that book. And that's really hard to find that understanding. But once you do, you realize, no, you're not going to burn in hell for eternity because you looked somewhere else as a spiritual understanding, then, oh my gosh, you can soar. That's freedom.
So, you know, there's multiple references to the census that David does. And in one spot, it says that Satan put it in David's mind after God told David to don't take a census. Whatever you do, don't take a census, God tells David. And then Satan puts it in David's mind to go take a census. So he takes a census so God will punish them. And the other, it says that God puts it in David's mind to take a census, number the people, because he was angry and he wanted to punish them. So either way, the reality is God and Satan are the same beings when you're looking at this. That's the same beings. They play both sides of the fence. They're playing good cop, bad cop. This is good cop, bad cop being played on humanity. And again, it doesn't mean that there's not a creator of the universe. There is. And if you want to know what that creator is more like, then I would encourage you to look more into the Sanatana Dharma. And you know, learn more or go into some of these native traditions, these indigenous traditions, the shamanistic traditions. There is a creator, there is a great spirit, so, you know, so to speak, there is a source of all, and the manifest reality in all its varied densities is all our mother. So again, there is a divine feminine, divine masculine principle, but what you get in the Bible is you get the reptilians and the hybrids playing God and playing Satan, good cop, bad cop. They got you coming and going. They got you both ways. Not my will, but your will. So you're basically giving away your free will. You're giving your free will over to them. And this is how they trick you. So, you know, you got this whole system of belief that's out there. And you got people that go to school, study it, and learn how to cover the gaps in it. But the gaps are so big. And so what happens is, you know, God or Satan, however you want to, you know, look at it, sends a plague and kills 70,000 people. This is exactly what they do to us all the time. This is a continuation, right? These are your kings. These are your chiefs. They have our blood in them. They are our children. You must listen to these people because they will speak on our behalf. If you don't, we're going to punish you very terribly. That's it in a nutshell. Colossians 3:22. Before the coming of the Chitauri, before the coming of the Mbulu creatures, human beings were spiritually one. But when the Chitauri came, human beings became divided, both spiritually as well by language. And then human beings were given strange new feelings by the Chitauri. Human beings started to feel unsafe. And they started making villages with very strong fences of wood around them. Human beings started becoming country makers. When we look to the future, what do we see with the Star Children? They don't view anything as being owned by anybody. No, you ask the mother for permission. If it's something that's in resonant with the earth, then go ahead and do it. If not, no. And again, it's recognizing that we're all cells in the same being. So in other words, they started creating tribes and tribe lands, which had borders, which they defended against any possible enemy. Human beings became ambitious and greedy, and they wanted to acquire wealth in the form of cattle and seashells. Whether what the shaman says is real or not is debatable, but it does seem to hold within it a resonance that sounds more tangible than the creationist or Big Bang evolutionist explanations we've been given. And so I'll give you guys, you know, the links to that. And you know, this right here is showing there are figurines all over the world that depicts these non-human beings. As you see, a reptilian holding a reptilian baby. I mean, is this just the stuff of, okay, I'm going to make these figurines because this is what my daughter had a nightmare of last night. Well, then why are people all over the world having the same nightmare? Why? Well, because they've seen these beings. They've seen these beings. Yeah, they've seen them up close and personal all over the globe. Yeah, I mean, and you would get used to. In certain ages, like again, in Atlantean culture, there were many different extraterrestrial races coming and going all the time. So all these different depictions of these different beings, you know, it's again, one of those things that you get used to over time. At first, yeah, it might shock you. You might be terrified. But then when you recognize that certain beings aren't going to hurt you and other ones are, you know, there's some that you're going to stay away from. Or in the case of the Chitauri, you know, you just obey because you're terrified for your very life. And there's depictions like play toys. This is out of Mexico. Which looks like, you know, reptilian beings on spaceships. You know, we have all sorts of depictions of these beings all over the world. Every culture on the globe has references of these different beings. Is it all one mass psychosis? No, the spell that people are under is the God spell, which is given to you as the gospel. And it is a spell, and it is all about eradicating our past and installing their belief systems from which they can control everybody. And as people wake up, who are they going to be calling on? they're going to be calling on them. And they're going to be waiting for the second return when Yeshua, the real Yeshua, was, it was never about him coming physically back. It was about understanding his teachings that liberate us from within. No, they've set you up for the second coming. And what is really the outcome of the second coming? The day of the Lord is a terrible thing to be feared. Yeah, the day of their return out in the open is something that is, the Bible describes it as fearful and dreadful. All the world will look up in the sky and see the sign of the Lord in the sky. Hey, that's just what he was talking about. And they will have fear and trembling. This is just what they were talking about. Exactly. I mean, how could the picture be any clearer? It is so clear. So what's the way out? Rise up to where they can't see you. Rise up your frequency. And it doesn't exist in a fear-based tradition. So many people, and I've had people say, well, you know, a lot of what you say makes sense. But what if you're wrong and I'm going to burn in hell forever? See, that's fear-based. They got you. They totally got you. It's fear-based. And again, when people are raised, you better listen to me or you're going to get the whip, you're going to get the belt, you're going to get the stick, whatever it is. That's fear-based. That's them. That's what they've taught humanity. And that'll keep you in a lower frequency. If you do things out of fear of punishment, you're always going to be in basically a lower vibrational frequency, and they know that they've got you. Mm-hmm.
Visualize that story about the baby elephant and understand what a spell is. A spell is an energy that is formed together to create a specific intention for somebody to fall under, and they're unable to see anything outside of that realm because they've been covered with a bubble of information that keeps them blinded. And it can be very, very hard to break out of that because the intention has been created and passed down from generation to generation. So every time something is followed in the Bible, it is recreating that spell. It's recreating that initial intention to keep you captivated into this one understanding. And just always keep that in mind about the fear-based. We're not a fear-based species, but we can have fear if we think we're being preyed upon, if we think our soul, our very, very soul is in danger and it's no longer going to exist. So it's about looking around at things and coming to those understandings and finding that peace within yourself that says it's okay. I can believe this. I can look over here and read this about my history and read that about my history. And it's okay if I believe that those things in the Bible are not true. It's okay. And I'm not going to burn in hell, but it's a process. It takes time. But when these beings put all this together, they knew it was going to take some doing for people to break out of it, for people to be filled with enough light of information to be able to break out of that matrix. So they know what they're doing. We're not the first group of entities that they have succumbed, that they have forced us to submit. They know what they're doing. They understand how to manipulate the soul into doing something where we think we want to do that, but only because we're afraid.
And these stories, again, are global in nature. As you see this, like, there's the Cherufe. Chilean lore illustrates a sinister saurian breed living deep within the earth. They have a voracious appetite for human flesh, preferably young children and virgin maidens. Residents felt the only way to appease the Cherufe was to sacrifice chosen victims by throwing them inside an active volcano. And we saw evidence of massive sacrifices in Mesoamerica, blood sacrifices. In fact, you know, the Judaic tradition is founded on blood sacrifice. This is what they gave us. They gave us the whole concept of blood sacrifice. And then in the Bible, they say, okay, this is the final human blood sacrifice for one and for all. But in believing in the blood sacrifice, you're condoning it, and it continues. War is a blood sacrifice. In so many ways, the plague upon the land is a blood sacrifice. You know, the blood sacrifices really haven't stopped. They've always been going on. And when people go and line up to go get the Eucharist, you're basically celebrating a blood sacrifice again. Body and this, you're believing this becomes the body and the blood. This is what they teach. There's another sinister aspect to this. When they teach people, because again, we didn't before they came, we didn't eat flesh per se. And when you get up into fifth density, you know, you don't have to eat anything. And in the higher fourth density, again, what we see is if things are consumed, it's really fruits and nuts and things like that, things that are viewed as offerings. It doesn't take a life. It takes what is the seed of new life and makes it part of you as an offering, like eating an apple, eating a fig, walnuts, you know, all different things like pecans. I mean, you could go on and on. Grapes, you know, cherries, again, bananas, all these things, you know, would be things that people would eat. Now, it's only in the darker ages that we actually eat flesh. And now part of their line of reasoning is, well, they're flesh eaters. They prey on those that are under them. They're under us, so we could eat them.
Mm-hmm. We look at the indigenous tribes. This isn't about bashing anyone who eats meat. It's part of the Kali Yuga. It's part of life feeding life. And there is a circle of life. When the indigenous tribes went out to hunt, they allowed the animal to be part of that offering, and they thanked it, and they sent in the appropriate energies to make it part of that chain, part of that circle of life, which is not a bad thing. I feel the thing that's sad is the way that they treat animals now. They treat them as if they are not any kind of a being at all. They just, you know, treat them as if they're lifeless and soulless, and that they can't understand what's going on. But that part of things is really sad. But the indigenous ways, there's respect given to life and respect from taking life.
And again, you know, the animal that is consumed, it is like Cindy's saying, it's the way, and the slaughterhouses are brutal and they're horrible, and it does affect the animal's consciousness. The animal is a soul just like anybody else. And it will take a new body as a new vehicle to have new experiences in a 3D realm. Yet it's an imprint on the soul that is imprinting a negative experience, a horrific, a terrifying experience, and traumatizing it. This is what they love to do. They love to create this trauma because they want to, well, misery loves company, and these are miserable beings. You know, they are lower vibrational, miserable bottom dwellers that want to get everybody else as miserable as them. And pretty simple.
It is. Misery loves company, and you can just kind of chalk it all up to that.
So as always, guys, we hope you got something out of this, because again, where we're heading is out of there. For those that will do the work to drive your vibrations up, again, they take joy in ticking people off to the point where people are ready to take up arms against other people and express their hatred and anger and frustration in a negative way. Because again, those souls that die in that manner will end up more than likely recycling back into the same frequency. It's all about frequency and vibration. All you got to do is get to so let's say 4.5, right? If we look at entering fourth density, and you step into fourth density, you're at 4.0, right? And going up into fifth density, you're at 5.0. We were basically sensing where some of our loved ones were, and we were actually given really precise numbers, like 4.45. That's past their control zone. These beings are only on the lower astral realm. They can't really go much higher than that because their frequency won't allow them to go much higher. So again, once we move up and out of that area, and again, somebody that doesn't have a clue that they're in a matrix like this, but maintains a positive frequency and vibration. One of those people that's maybe a glass always half full instead of half empty, they might not know anything. They might be in the system their entire life, and when they pass on, they find themselves in a really nice experience, and they're able to create a comfortable environment for themselves to take a repose and to reflect on their past experiences, and then plan another incarnation. And we'll again start out, like, let's say if somebody leaves at 4.45 and then they come back in at 4.45 and they work their way up to 4.75 in the next life, and then go have a really nice pleasant experience in between lives, understand the things that need to be worked on, go back in, have another incarnation, and then maybe next time they'll be starting off at 5.0 in fifth density. And again, even when we get to the middle part of fourth density, this is truly a heavenly realm compared to what we have been in. What we have been in is a hellish realm. And even in the hellish realm, there are those beings that have found a paradise of their own.
Indeed.
As always, thanks for your support on Ko-Fi and Patreon. Check out Medicinal Foods, link on every video. Much love, God bless, and namaste.
Namaste.